Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an incredible show for you today. I can hardly believe it. We've done over 200 episodes, and we're almost at the one-year mark. Wow, we've had a lot of shows, a lot of guests, but I know you're going to enjoy today's show. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. Every day of the week, Monday through Friday, I ask you for the same thing, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. I know there's someone in your network, in your neighborhood, in your house who needs this information. Maybe they're just starting their business. Maybe they're a new entrepreneur, or maybe they're at their day job wanting to get out and don't know how. They can learn from our experts because our experts have been there, done that, and they're sharing the information with you. So we need you to share the information with your network because, as I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're introducing the Roundtable Talk Show to your network, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Mr. Josh Christofferson. Josh has been with Achieve Today for 6 years, focusing on sales management, marketing, and business direction. He oversaw the creation, build out, and design of Achieve's education platform and structure, as well as its creative direction. With many thousands of members, it continues to grow rapidly and has evolved into the main hub of Achieve Today education. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Thanks for having me on. 200 episodes. That's significant.
Over 200 episodes. Yes. And that just means I like to talk. I'm nosy and I love talking to people. And people seem to like talking to me. I don't know why.
That's great. Well, this will be fun. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So, Josh, who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
I've been with Achieve Today for, actually my partner and I started the company probably around 7 years ago, and we had spent probably close to 20 years in the learning and development education space. And we found that out of the thousands of students we worked with at that point, that one of the key things that drove them to success was their, I like to call it your inner game, your beliefs, your habits. Sometimes the limiting beliefs that hold you back from success. And so in all these different areas of education that we had spent decades in, we found that there were these core principles. And that's what led us to start Achieve Today about 7 years ago. And it was founded on more of an ed tech type space. We started developing a software, and it was designed to educate our students and walk them through using an AI coach, among other things, tie in AI plus HI, I like to call it human intelligence, bring coaches and an artificial intelligence into the mix and help guide students through the process of awakening their greatness and doing big things, whether it's in their career or if they're an entrepreneur in their business, people are struggling to get a business going or maybe have hit walls or roadblocks that are keeping them from moving forward. We have students that are looking for help in relationships. We have, and these are usually adult students, but now we've moved into the education space where we have a couple public schools that have brought our product into their, or our platform into their schools to help with conflict resolution, anxiety, depression, and helping students to, again, awaken their greatness there. And so at this point now, we've worked with over 100,000 students in 72 different countries. And our software that we developed in the B2C space is now business to business. We have about 40 different companies that license our software and use it to help their employees with retention and growth and delivering a message. Quite a handful of thought leaders, network marketing groups that use it to train. And so that's really the passion, at least for me, is helping people to move past those limits that hold them back in life. A lot of times it's those inner beliefs and those challenges and struggles that self-talk that we have about ourselves. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough, or I don't know how to do this, or I can't do that. We train and teach how to remove those and then move them forward, whether it's in sales or just a business success or whatever the case may be. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of background real quick.
They gave me enough meat to go ahead and start the questions. That's interesting. Josh, one of the things that stood out to me is you saw the patterns, right? One of the things with entrepreneurs is they usually find a need and then they find a way to fill that need. But usually when people see that there are limiting beliefs within other people, they go into the coaching route. What made you decide to go into the education platform?
The technology, that's an interesting question. I've never had that question before. I love that because we started in the coaching space. So those years prior, those 10 to 20 years, it was delivering education through coaching. And there's still a number of large companies that move people through primarily coaching. We never really let that piece go because we found that just relying only on technology, because at that point, 6-7 years ago, you started seeing a lot of major companies really try to do away with, because coaching's expensive. It's a very people heavy type place. There's not a lot of margins in it. And we spent, like I said, years working with so many people that we wanted to bring in the technology, but businesses started, you look at Headspace and Calm and a lot of companies that would just use meditations or small courses and rely on the app side. We wanted to combine the two. Like I mentioned before, something that I've kind of gone with quite a bit is AI plus HI. We wanted to use the human piece, which we really found after working with so many thousands of people in so many countries over the years, you needed that human connection to really uncover and awaken, or maybe I shouldn't say that, remove those blocks that held a lot of people back, because it's very personal. For some people, it can be, like I said, in relationships, a husband trying to save his marriage and he's not sure how to open these communication doors, or an entrepreneur who isn't sure, is struggling with management or struggles in the sales side of things. And it's really very personal. And to work with a coach to uncover those can be transformative. And we didn't want to eliminate that. We wanted to combine it. And so we brought in these technology pieces and combined the two of them, started designing these AI tools to really bridge the gap between those sessions and those trainings that would go on that were personal. We found that a lot of people, whether it was an executive or a manager or somebody at home who's struggling with health issues in their life, we found that they would speak more freely, which it seemed opposite at the time, but they would open up more to an artificial coach because they felt they weren't being judged. And so they could tell it different things that were personal, and our AI would then deliver back short videos or trainings or goals that were custom to that student's, or maybe even courses, for example, clearings or meditations. Then we would take that data and tie it with a coach and have the coach then come in and bridge those gaps as well. So really, we felt that using technology was the key, but we couldn't remove the human piece from it. That was really what moved the needle with students after working with so many. And so we had to tie the two together.
I love it. It's so intriguing to me. I was that little kid watching the Twilight Zone, and they told us all these robots and AI was going to come in and just eliminate us. And so now we're here in 2021. We have AI, we have HI, and it's so definitely an interesting conversation. I'm going to come back to you, Josh. I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, the incredible Miss Megan Bennett. Megan is CEO and co-owner of Light Years Ahead. They're a national boutique PR agency dedicated to helping businesses, especially small entrepreneurs, build their images often from scratch. Megan is known in the industry as a fearless and relentless champion of her clients, one who catapulted a small Kansas City company to $250,000 upswing in sales after getting them featured on foodandwine.com. Good morning, Megan. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you for having me. You're welcome. I love your energy. I love your smile. This is going to be fun. Thank you for joining me. Tell me about yourself, Megan. Who are you?
So, what
are you?
I am a certified stalker.
I like that. Tell people the same thing. We're going to get along well. I'll tell you about
that
later.
We're going to be besties. Or we might stalk each other and then never want to talk again. I'm a publicist. And basically what that is it's like people have called me the squeaky wheel. So like, you have a brand, you are an entrepreneur, or you can be a bigger company, you can be an established brand, and you need help. You want to spread your word to the media in an authentic way. That's not a paid advertisement. That's like, for example, this company that we worked with that was a Wagyu beef company based out of Kansas City, veteran founded, nobody had heard of them. They hired us to help spread the word and get samples to the top media across the country, like the Today Show, Good Morning America, all of the top food magazines, the Wall Street Journal. What we do is we send samples to the media, then we follow up and we make sure that they cover it in an editorial review where they're like giving a real authentic review of the product or a roundup so that people are watching it and they know that it's not a paid for ad. So an example of this is we get the Wagyu Beef Company, their hot dogs into foodandwine.com, and they get voted the best hot dog, beef hot dog of the year. And then they make $250,000 in sales because of this one article that everybody's reading that's due to us just sending samples out to them. Of course, you have to be a good product for people to give you rave reviews. And so, you know, we work with brands that we know we really believe in, but that's what PR is. I wanted to give you an example because a lot of people still don't understand it, but we are the people behind the people or behind the brands that takes your product, get it out there to the top movers and shakers in the media, has them try it, and then they do rave reviews. And then you get brand awareness that really helps build your brand. Not always ROI, but brand awareness so that people know who you are. Oh, I saw them on the Today Show. That's what we do.
I love it. Of course, it makes perfect sense. I love it. Now, I want to go back to something you said. We'll talk about the stalker thing later, but why are you so passionate about getting other people's stories out?
Because I love to help other people. I love to see people go from like a small business to a household name. And if I really believe in you and I believe in your brand, then I will just go to the ends of the earth to help you. It is my passion. And people say, what's your hobby? I love publicity. This is what I like to do. And that's why I've done it for almost 20 years. So, you know, it's a passion for me. If I didn't like it, I would not be doing it.
Well, it shows in every element, every ounce of your being just shows how much you enjoy it, how much fun you have. I have to hire you. Maybe you'll help me get to Senate. I need someone who's going to the end of the earth for me. That's what I need. You're hired. But what about people who are more like myself, who are more service oriented than someone who is product oriented? We can't just send them samples of the roundtable talk show.
Right. What we need to do in your case, and we work with experts too. We work with meditation experts, somebody that's like an executive leadership coach. So what we do is we pitch them, we develop a really like compelling pitch, and we pitch them to all the top media and offer them for interviews in the subject that you're an expert in, for example. So then we would pitch your story, go to podcasts like you, for example, all the business media, or say that you're a wellness expert. Then we would reach out to the medical, the health experts, or technology, if you're technology. We pitch you that way as an expert in your field and get them to interview you for articles. And then they link to your site. Then people look, they see what you do. A lot of the times it's roundup stories where you're one of the experts, but sometimes if it's really relevant, you might be the only person that's featured in the story. For podcasts, it's different. A lot of the times they're one-on-one. So that's what we do for experts, is like create their name. So then when people need a chiropractor in Los Angeles, they'll know who to go to. Or if they want to take a meditation, you know, course, then they know, oh, I've heard of this guy, this is who I'm going to use. And so that's where we come in.
I like it. I just like the whole idea in the industry. And I love the fact that you just came out with a joke and just personality, because that's usually what makes the difference. Someone that you enjoy working with, someone who has a good time. And I was joking. It reminded me of what Josh said when he started talking about business and relationships and how much is the same. I always joke with my friends, I have a stalking limit for dating and relationships. Like, I only stalk about a good 5 miles, 30 miles away. That's past my stalking limit. I don't care 30 miles worth, but hey, if you a good 2 miles away, I might stop by. I might roll by just to see what you up to. I'm trouble. But Megan, I will come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest. He's been waiting so passionately, Mr. Rudy Patel. Rudy Patel is a 29-year-old entrepreneur who immigrated to the United States when he was 8 years old. He is a person who cannot sit still and loves to start new ventures and grow them. Patel finds himself to be extremely driven towards innovation and creativity while editing himself to ensure that the content he puts out in the world is that which he can be proud of. Good morning, Rudy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Are we losing Rudy? Rudy probably left because he can't sit still. So that means that I have to keep moving.
Good morning.
Are you? Good Rudy, morning. Tell us about yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, I don't know if you could hear me, but thank you for having me.
For some reason, we seem to be having. Are you with me, Megan?
Yes.
Fantastic. We're making progress. I think Rudy couldn't sit still. He ran away. So, Megan, I wanted to ask you about Josh. Josh has his education system. He works with his clients. What are some of your thoughts on ways you would help Josh get his story out there?
I was listening to your story, Josh, and at first I was kind of like, And then when you talked about bringing the AI and the HI together, I thought this is really a really, really cool program. So I think the way to do it would be, first of all, to pitch you and your story and how you founded the company and your business partner and go from there, and then reach out to the education media talking about what your services are and offering you as an expert about, you know, topics that relate to what you're trying to promote. And then from there, I think that getting you, like in my case, I would reach out to education reporters, we'd reach out to senior media, to anybody who needs help learning how to do things, and also in the human interest sector of the media. There's a lot of different things that could be done. That's why I'm like all over the place, because it's not just the nice thing about what you have launched is it's something that has so many different angles that we could target all different types of media with it. So, yeah. I mean, there's your story, there's the story of the brand and the service side, which could be B2B, and then there's obviously the B2C of what it does for consumers.
Oh, I love that, Megan. And it's funny, when I love that you asked that, Sharifa, because when you started talking, Megan, I felt the same way Sharifa did. I thought, man, I can't help but smile when you're talking. I was excited. I love your energy. When you were talking about what you did, Megan, I don't know if you guys noticed, but I started taking notes over here because I thought I need to reach out to Megan and talk with her a little bit and find out what you're doing over there and how you can help us. Because, you know, it's surprising. You hear these businesses, and I mean, I still kind of consider us a bit of a startup, even though we're about 6-7 years into this. We have worked with, like I said, over 100,000 students, and we are working with a number of businesses, but we're still just trying to get our feet off the ground and try and start getting awareness around what we're doing and really grow even more. And so I love that. I appreciate you bringing that up, Sharifa, because I think it's something that any business can use. It doesn't matter whether you're small or big. You need someone like Megan, who can come in and really help shine a spotlight on what you're doing and get that word out there. And so thanks for making that connection.
Yeah, this is great.
That's what we do here, you know, because I love getting PR people on here. They have the most interesting minds to me, not to knock anyone else. But when I did an IPO, one of my clients, and we raised about $6 million, we had built our social media from scratch to about 26,000 followers, radio advertising. But I saw that it was the PR that actually raised the money. It wasn't the marketing. It wasn't the advertising. It was taking the story of what we were doing and putting it out there, because it's not what I say about my company or even what you say about my company or your company. It's what they say about you. And so that's why I'm always like, anytime I get a PR person, I know they're going to come with some idea that, you know, maybe we haven't thought of. So that's why I wanted to offer you that opportunity, Josh. So I want to go back. You are so welcome. Josh is going to thank you, because I can right there. But I want to go over to Rudy, see if he's ran back into the studio. Rudy, are you with us?
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we have you now. You can't sit still, Rudy. So, hey, sometimes things happen. Tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I'm passionate about the environment. I love the environment, being a hiker and, you know, camper, like being out there, it just brings me peace, right? So that being said, me and my family, so my brother and my father, in 2016 decided to get into the, you know, green technology industry. And when I say technology, I'm not talking about electronics specifically, but I'm talking more the polymers and such. So how can we develop, you know, a polymer that can create sustainable products?
Okay, right, Rudy, so, I hate to cut you off, but that's what I tend to do sometimes. For those of us and those of people who are watching who don't know what polymers are, can you explain?
Yeah, it's polymers are pretty much the raw material. So the actual ingredients that are used to make like plastic products, or in this case, bioplastic products. So for instance, like our bioplastic polymers would be made from, you know, vegetable oil, corn byproducts, as well as, you know, biodegradable or plant-based polyester. So we use those raw ingredients to create products, which can decompose within 3 to 6 months.
Wow. I like that. Tell me more.
Sure. So yeah, in 2016, you know, we started out with a company called Beyond Green. It was my father, my brother, and I. It kind of worked out really well for us because I am the creative, you know, the marketing. So I could relate a lot to what Megan was saying here. My brother is the one that gets his, you know, hands dirty. And my dad's like the guy who loves doing the research and development behind the polymers. So we started that. And in 2016, we entered the market with just pet waste bags, because that's something that I saw, you know, going on hikes. I would see people pick up pet waste and then just leave the bags out there. Well, if you pick it up and you put it in plastic, it's not going anywhere. It's just going to kind of stay there. So we created these, you know, compostable pet waste bags. From there on, we went into now grocery bags, produce bags, and so forth. But while we were manufacturing everything in India at the time and bringing it over to the US to distribute, we realized that wasn't really sustainable because ocean freight, you know, has a high carbon footprint. So then we decided to move all our manufacturing here in California, in Orange County. And so now we actively work on polymer research and development to see how we can get the next best polymer to make that decomposition time even shorter if necessary. We're always doing product development because our end goal is to see how many single-use plastic products we could replace with our technology, right? And while we're doing that, we also want to make sure that we can meet plastic prices, because, you know, to give you an example, right now you can get a pound of plastic raw materials for $1, whereas bioplastic raw materials are $2.50, right? So we want to know how we could lower that to make it more cost efficient for consumers. But the most important thing that we've learned in the last 5 years is educating consumers, because as, you know, the bioplastic industry gains more and more traction and popularity, there's going to be new products and new manufacturers that come into the sector. And not all of them are going to have those 100% compostable products, right? A lot of them, in a term that's really commonly used in our industry, is greenwashing. It's false advertisement of green products, right? So we focus heavily on educating consumers, on helping them identify what a true compostable product is versus one that has been falsely marketed. So with that being said, you know, we continue every single day to develop new products and continue our research and development behind the polymers. And from there on, I kind of got into the packaging sector as well, because we were creating all these products and then it didn't make sense to, you know, package them in regular cardboard. So how can we incorporate FSC, like forest certified, you know, craft paper, or even post-consumer recycled paper, you know? So how can we stay as environmentally friendly and provide consumers with true, authentic, like green products? That's pretty much our main
focus. I love it. Green products. I love it. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to be serious in 2 minutes. But for right now, I want to go back to something you said. Did you say you were in Orange County, California?
I am. Yeah.
why do you have that trench coat on in Orange County, California? I thought you were like Bakersfield or Northern. You like 20 minutes away from me in a trench coat, Rudy.
We talked about this. I get cold easily. Right?
You are disappointing me right now. Like, you are ruining it for everyone. I'm the same way, though, because if I'm under 70 degrees, I'm cold. That's how it is. But I was like, wow, he's in Orange County, California. That's really close. You touched on different points. I know Megan can relate. And then you're over here with Josh. And I want to know about the education sector. Megan,
I'm listening to this, and this is like, my bells are like ding, ding, ding. Because right now we have several clients that we're pitching for Earth Day, you know, because Earth Day is next month. And I'm going to be honest, I've had a few people saying, you know, this is not complete, you're greenwashing, because some of the products are totally recyclable or whatever, but they're not 100, they're plastic. And the fact that yours is not, this is so hot right now. I don't know if you do private labels or if you're just making your own brands that you're, you know, promoting, but if it's both, that's great. But if it's your own brands, now is the time to strike and promote this, because everybody wants stuff that's completely biodegradable. I mean, in fact, I was talking to a client today that's coming out with something, and I thought it was all paper. And they said, well, it's actually mostly paper, but partly plastic. And then you come on this call, and this call was this morning. So it's so timely. I think that you need to, I mean, if you need help, you know, spreading brand awareness and the private labeling thing, I think it's really important. The more brands in the natural category that you can get on board and help make their products, the better. And I don't know if you guys have been to Expo West before, but that's the show where it's all at in Anaheim. So I'll let you continue. I don't mean to ramble, but yes, I think this is a story. This is like a story for Mind Body Green. It's a story for Well and Good, for Pure Wow, for the Today Show, you know, especially while Earth Day is hot. So I hope you're promoting it.
Yes.
I was going to add.
I'm not giving you anxiety.
No, you're fine, Megan. I heard you, Josh. I'm going to come back to you, Josh. I just wanted you to know, Rudy, I also have a dear friend of mine, has a huge reach, about 2 million people that she reaches through her magazine and her TV show. And she's having an Earth Day event April 22nd, and she's looking for panelists. So if you're interested, Rudy, I put the link in the chat. Please check it out, because I think it would be an excellent fit for you. Josh, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I just had a real brief comment as you were talking, and Megan, as you mentioned, you know, I hope you're promoting it, Rudy. Right as you, in fact, even before we came on the show, I was looking at who was going to be on today, and I saw your name, Rudy, and I, for some reason, it stuck with me. I thought, man, I swear I know that guy. I swear I've heard of him somewhere. I'm not sure where. It said Renew Pack, and it just kept, like, bells kept going off, and so again, I don't have much more to say other than I know I've read some business articles, or I don't know if you've been in some of the things that Megan was suggesting to you, maybe on some TV shows or something. I keep wanting to go back to maybe some business articles or some something to that effect, but I'm pretty sure I've read about what you're doing with your business, and it stuck with me enough that as I saw your name, I remembered and thought, man, this guy's doing some really cool things. So more or less just a comment that I love what you're doing. And the word is getting out slowly somewhere. I'm sure Megan could really get things going, but I have read some stuff about you, and it's exciting.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you all, guys.
Yes, we're going to help you out, Rudy. We're going to get you out that trench coat and on some panels and talking and making some more business. Now, one of the things that you said, Rudy, that was interesting, I was going to ask Josh about, is the education piece. That's what really stood out to me, because products, yeah, that's nice. You're saving the world, but you're teaching other people how to be, you know, better themselves, more conscious of what they're doing in the world. When you hear that education piece, Josh, what are your thoughts? Maybe there's a course or a class. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe it's a course or class. Usually our stuff fits more into corporate education or individual education in terms of self-improvement. And so maybe, I mean, you mentioned Megan Mind Body Green. I'm familiar with them. That would be a phenomenal place for Rudy and his business. Maybe some articles or some conversations there, but I think more educating a consumer to use those types of products instead of other ones. I think that probably falls way more in line with what Megan does, what her full-time focus is really getting into consumers and their minds and helping them learn and educate them on what he's doing, what the business does, where to find them. Because for me, I'd be happy to use products like that, but I don't necessarily know where to, like, how do I find those instead of others? And, you know, I think that's probably more the consumer type of education that would need. And I think it would come from, you know, different shows or articles or things that Megan could help with getting it in the right places when somebody's getting ready to buy something or work with a company. So that's just some thoughts or my opinion on it.
Maybe you need to be my publicist.
I don't know about that.
We're going to do a little barter here. You do PR for me. I'll do PR for you. Oh, no. We're going to have to get in there somewhere. I appreciate your thoughts, Josh. I think that's great. But also, I think there's a side, and it may not be with you. It could be with anyone. But today's society, corporations, companies are looking for more ways that they can be socially responsible, ways that they can show that they are a green company. So that's why I was thinking more in the education arena. Megan, I just saw you do a nod that I haven't seen before. So what were your, that was a long, yes.
That was a long, no, I think the education is really important. And I was just thinking about how, you know, yeah, to pitch you as an expert in the category, but also I just came across an opportunity that, and I think it's important, everybody's listening, it's called like the Forbes Council. Have you heard of this? To be a part of the Forbes Council, you have to pay and you have to be accepted, but basically it makes you an expert in whatever field you are. Then you can contribute articles and then it gives you sort of like that validation and the credibility to go to the next step. So if it's something you're interested in, I can, you know, email you and send you the contact information of the person to reach out to. But I think for a lot of business owners, if you're really an expert in your field, trying to be part of the Forbes Council, if you have the money, I don't usually recommend pay for play, but this one might be a good one for something like that, you, because you're an expert in this field. So it's all about education. And really, you can't promote your brand, but you promote the education of what you're trying to teach people to get to learn. So, you know, that's something that really might be worth looking into.
Absolutely. And that really is the most important part. You know, it's like when you're buying food, right? You want to look at the ingredients to see what you're consuming. It's very similar to that.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself an expert, Rudy?
Myself particularly, no, but my father, I would. He's been in this industry for years and in manufacturing over 30 years himself. So, you know, that he would be someone I would recommend to be on the Forbes Council. I have heard of the council. And I believe he's been in touch with him. So I would probably reiterate that for him.
Yeah.
What would it take for you to consider yourself an expert, Rudy? Is it the experience? Is it the knowledge? Is it the time frame under your belt?
It would definitely be a combination of those things, right? Because each day I'm in this industry, I'm learning something new. There's constantly new, you know, materials coming out. There's new technology that's coming out. So for me, you know, to consider myself experienced, it would definitely be a combination of all those, and time being a major factor for sure.
Okay. So you mentioned the disposable dog bags. What are some of the other products you offer?
Yeah, absolutely. And so kind of like how Megan was mentioning, we do private labels. So we moved all our manufacturing here in Santa Ana, California. So we not only do like compostable dog waste bags, you know, like pet products, we do shopping bags, we do produce bags, trash liners, but we also have the capability to do injection molding. So we're able to take on custom product requirements from consumers or like businesses in this part and make whatever it is that they need. So I'll give you an example. One of our first injection molding customers, Cocoa Taps, he was actually on Shark Tank and the Profit. So it's a coconut where the tap is, it's tapped in and then you could drink it. Now, what was happening is he's working with a lot of cruise liners and they would, you know, people would throw the coconuts overboard, but the taps at the time were plastic. And so we worked with him to create compostable taps. And so now when they're thrown overboard, they degrade, you know, over time. So we do a lot of like custom projects like that. You know, we'll make caps and bottles and pretty much anything. Like the custom product manufacturing sector is huge for us.
Okay. Can you make me a product, Rudy?
This is you got it.
This is a special request. And it's not just for me, not selfishly. It's for all the people. We're going to help all the people. I need you to make us a new straw. Okay, because in the law in California, they changed it so we are not allowed to have straws. Like, I feel like a criminal just trying to get a straw. So I do, I'm telling you. But then they give me the straw that they want me to have. And by the time I'm like a slow sipper. Let me just share that with the world. I've diagnosed myself as being a slow sipper. I don't gulp, you know what I mean? It takes me some time. I'm watching my movie, and by the time I finish my movie or halfway through my straw is all mushy. I don't want a mushy straw. Rudy, this is my problem.
So that's funny you bring that up, because right now we are actually working on we are currently working on developing straws and cutlery as well. So, you know, the food and beverage industry. So I'll keep you posted. We should be launching those here shortly.
Thank you.
You have a tester.
Yeah. I saw you over there with that straw, Megan. I'm telling the people, I saw a straw.
You reminded me to drink. This is completely washable and it never throw it away. I don't know how clean it is, but.
But you can wash it, so it's good. But you were relating to what I was saying. I mean.
Totally.
I don't know where are you, Megan?
I'm in Kansas City, right outside of, I'm in Kansas, but right outside the city, yeah.
Are you guys allowed to have straws in Kansas?
Yeah, Kansas is totally different. We're allowed to do pretty much ever. Actually, Missouri is more than Kansas. Missouri, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Where are you, Josh?
I'm in Utah, and it's funny when you said that, I can relate. Here in Utah, it's not, it didn't become a law like you were saying there in California, but it was interesting. We had a number of our higher end restaurants that kind of jumped on board that when it was a big news thing, and they shifted to those straws that you're talking about that got all soggy. Oh, and so I know what you're talking about there. And it was just as frustrating because, you know, I recognized that. And then when I went on some business trips to California, I felt the same way because I knew about it from all over the news. And I was kind of afraid, you know, when I'd eat out, can I ask for a straw? Is it even allowed? What's going to, is the FBI going to come out of the corner and get me? And so it's a real thing. It's a real concern. So that's a big deal, Rudy.
Yes, because they make you feel bad and guilty for even asking for a straw. I'm going, the FBI doesn't come out, but the waitresses act like they work for the FBI. You know, I'm like, may I have a straw? You want a straw? Just give me the damn straw, you know, that's all I want. I'm not trying to murder anybody, you know, take over the world, overthrow the government. I just want a straw. So life is funny. So Megan, how do you come up with ideas for products and pitches and all of these different things? Because we're laughing about a straw, but this new straw that Rudy's going to make may be a multi-billion dollar industry.
Yeah. I mean, there's always ways to come up with products and with examples of ways to get your product to be interesting or exciting. We worked with stuff that is not very exciting, not recently, but we've had brands before where, you know, maybe it's a skincare product that's not developed by an expert that doesn't really have any great ingredients in it. That's a little bit harder to spin. But for example, we worked with this one brand that was, it was for scars, okay? It was a silicone sheeting. Finally, we worked with them for about 7 years. They got sold to two private equity firms and now they went public. But every month, all we're promoting is, you know, this product to get rid of scars, this, scars, that, and the media is getting sick of it. Well, we found out that you can also use it to help with wrinkles because it's got silicone sheeting in it. So it was like, you know, products that you didn't know did something that they could, or, you know, beauty products that work wonders overnight. And then Real Simple featured it as a wrinkle reducer. So there's always ways to make things fun. I mean, yeah, if you have bells and whistles, if you're going to send out a product or you're going to mail something out to the media, if you just send a product in a package, it's not going to be as exciting as if you send a product and you put in a prop. Or 1 year we were working with a company that was a veneer company, which is how can you send veneers to people? You know, this is the things that go over your teeth to give you a beautiful smile. So we bought these the client, we have them buy these little wind up teeth that jump all over your desk. We sent them to the media. They never forgot. And they called us, you know, because we're doing a story about veneers and they still had the little hopper. So there's ways to make anything sound exciting. Even if it's like, for me as a publicist, the way that I always make things exciting is in my subject line. So when you're pitching the media or you're pitching your product, you want to have a subject line that people open. You don't want to make it sound promotional. Sometimes I just start with, you know, media question, or, you know, are you covering stories about like the best hand soap in the world? You know, you can say things, and if it doesn't work, I just try it again. And if that doesn't work, I try 4 to 5 times different subject lines and different intros in my email. The last thing that people want to read is a novella when you send an email. They want to see something short, concise, with like your main point in the first few sentences. So there's always ways to spin something, even if it's not that exciting. That's what we're here for. That's what publicity is.
Right. And I think publicity is the art of the spin. You know, I used to have a whole marketing team as the marketing director when we did the IPO. And I would always say that's the difference between someone who's good and someone who is great. Because someone who is good can sell a chair. It's just a chair. It's black. It's you sit your butt in the chair. That's what it is. But someone who's great can turn that same chair into something absolutely new over and over and over again. So now it's not just a chair. Now it's the best chair for back support. Now it's the best chair because it's an antique, you know, but it's still the same chair. It still has one back, 4 legs, but you have to learn the art of the spin.
Exactly. And there's always a way to spin it. And once you've given up, it's kind of like, you know what, then you need to keep going. You need to tell yourself, I can't give up. So that's what I always tell myself.
Right. So Josh, one of the things that entrepreneurs, that we always talk about with entrepreneurs, is this last year, this global pandemic. Education has been hit hard over the last year. What are some of the trends and things that you've seen within your company?
So we actually, you know, we were one of the lucky ones, I think, because I think when this all started, man, it's been about a year, hasn't it? Sometime around this month, isn't it?
Yes.
But I'm trying to think back about a year ago. I think a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs, it was up in the air. We didn't know what was going to happen. It initially started, it was a 2-week thing. And, you know, we thought, well, we'll be okay for a couple of weeks. But even that, for a business, especially small business, I mean, we've only got maybe 80 to 90 employees right now. And
Josh, did you just call 80 to 90 employees small? I'm sorry. I need to hire about 78 more people before I get to your level of being a small. I'm sorry, I interrupt. Go ahead, Josh.
I'll tell you and this is a total side note, but one of the best pieces of advice that I ever heard was from a gentleman that was a CEO of one of the companies in this area, in the Silicon Slopes area. And they went public, were a huge company locally. He made a comment that whether you've got 5 employees or 100,000 employees, he said the only difference between the balance in the books and trying to figure out how to get to the next week's payroll is, he just said, you add a couple zeros. He said every company is just trying to get to the next payroll and the next thing. So anyway, there's a little snippet that I got once. But anyway, yeah, it was a bit of a challenge at first. We didn't know what was going to happen. And we were one of the lucky few that people really started, because everybody was going home and starting to struggle with the being home, being away from work. It was a whole new life, a lifestyle. And there were a lot of fears that surrounded it among individuals. You know, companies were starting to shut down and lay people off. And it was really scary. And one thing with our company, with Achieve Today, was we fell into this area that was about hope and helping people to move past those fears and learning how to look beyond it and find new opportunities in the darkness that people were surrounded by. And so as that 1 and 2 week thing went to 4 weeks, went to 8 weeks, and that fear grew and people started being in more and more financial trouble and struggling to find work, they began, and the businesses began to reach out to us. So whether it was individuals looking for help to move past it and improve themselves to find other work, that part of the business grew, but also companies in particular, again, whether it was 5 or 10 employees up to very large companies with 10,000 employees, began to reach out to us and say, hey, we know that you help people with these challenges. Can we use your software for our 10 people? We have a company that's a, what is it? Heating and air conditioning company. They wanted to use it for their installers to help inspire them and help them do better at work and on the job and find happiness. And then there were other people trying to help people retain people and keep them happy and working. And when they were moving home, maintain that culture that they once had. A big part of it is culture. And so I guess what I saw in response to your question was there were a lot of challenges that came out of it, but there were ways to, at least for us, that we were able to embrace those and really help people rise above it. And grow and find opportunity in the darkness, bring a little light to that darkness. So that's what we found.
I like that. Now, earlier, about an hour ago, you mentioned a term that I caught when you were talking about the sessions. You mentioned clearings. And I usually don't hear that term outside of the metaphysical world. You know, in metaphysics, people always talk about, you got to have a clearing. What for you in your company is a clearing?
So I kind of fall in the middle of that. We have give you a little bit of an idea what the business looks like. At least 30 of those employees, maybe 40 of them are coaches. So like we talked about before, and it's interesting of our coaches, there's that spectrum and you've got some that are way over on that metaphysical side. And we've got some that are way over on the entrepreneurship, high performance, scientific side. And the beauty of it is by having that spectrum of coaches there, our education, because we really regulate what they teach and we try and find this middle ground that, you know, brings the science plus the metaphysical together. And what we've done is we take those things like you've heard of, Sharifa, clearings, and we bring those into daily life. Even meditation's gaining a lot more ground now with those bigger apps and things coming out. Just that's what we do is we help people use meditation to get calm and find that peace. Then we use clearings to help clear out those beliefs and those negative thought patterns that most of us experience. You know, and it's interesting. I don't want to hijack the conversation at all, but I want to make one comment. We've actually worked with, we had a CEO of a very large company come to us and he wanted this for his employees, wanted this education and training to help them. But we found that even he was dealing with and had uncovered his own limiting beliefs and blocks about himself. This is a guy who's multi-millionaire, very successful, and he didn't feel he was good at some things like writing, for example, because of things he was told at a young age when he was in elementary school. It stuck with him his whole life. And so no matter where you're at, whether you're a high performer or looking to get a business going or whatever the case, or relationships at home, there are beliefs and thought patterns that we all have, and learning how to bring peace into your life and then clear out those negative thought patterns can really awaken greatness in your home life, in your, like you said, your family life or your business or your work, and bring high performance in whatever it is that you're doing.
Yes, I appreciate that. Megan, how do you bring your state of mind, your hyper, how do you get in that state of mind? Do you do meditation?
No. actually, one of my clients is a meditation expert. So whenever he has like he's a composer, I do attend those because it does really calm me down. I exercise. That's what calms me down. And I like to cook. And I mean, there's certain things that calm me down. But honestly, most of the day, I don't get to the point where I'm feeling super overwhelmed or super insecure, or I went through that for, you know, the first 8 years. I worked with the former founder of our company and I had a mentor and she helped guide me. And because of that, it was almost like having a daily coach telling me, Megan, this has got to roll off your shoulders. You can't let this client get to you. You can't let this editor get to you. If somebody tells you no, who cares? Try again. So it was that constant coaching that helped me. Not to say that I'm never stressed or anxious. That's not true. But I found a way to kind of just, when I'm working, and say, you know what? Nothing is important enough that it's going to cause me to feel X, Y, and Z. You know, you just can't let it go to that point. But I think what you're offering is amazing. And for people, you know, I have my own business and it's small, but I think for people who are working in, you know, bigger companies and they're stressed out and they can't, they need this kind of help. Absolutely. I think it's a really cool concept.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rudy, how do you find your Zen?
You know, meditation, I'm really fond of it. So I do guided meditation. There's this app that I use. It's called Synergy and it has 3D audio. So I find that binaural beats, especially delta waves, like when I'm trying to fall asleep, help me out a lot, especially when this whole 3D audio thing was like new to me. I immediately fell in love with it.
Well, you just, this is all new to me. You're giving me all this information. We talking about AI and HI. And what is 3D audio?
I don't even know how to explain it, to be honest. I just know 3D audio.
Josh, Josh, what is 3D audio?
Well, I don't want to say I'm an expert in it at all, but we have a little bit of what you're referring to, Rudy. Like the binaural beats and some of those things that help you bring your mind down. And I think that's where the 3D auto comes in, is where there's different beats and different patterns. They're scientific and created in a way to bring your emotional state down and bring you into a state of calm. There's actually audios on YouTube that you can go to, and Apple Music. That's something that I use where even for a couple, I've got some younger kids, and my oldest, he's 12. And he's been dealing with a little bit of that, you know, that anxiety and stuff that we're noticing in him. And we've used some of those that you're talking about, Rudy, some of that music and those binaural beats and maybe the 3D audio type thing. And what it is it's these music or songs that have these beats in the background that are set at certain frequencies that help bring your energy down and calm you and relax you and kind of put you in that state of peace. So that's what I don't know. I hadn't heard the 3D audio before, but I assume that's what it's referring to.
Yeah. So is that, because what I do is when I want to get in a certain energy, I'll look for the ones with megahertz. So you're supposed to be over a certain 400 megahertz in order to have all the benefits. Is that the same thing?
I think it is. There are those, it's that, the vibrational patterns and things. So yes. Yeah.
Okay. So I just didn't know I was in with the in crowd. Go ahead, Rudy. I got distracted again.
Oh, no, you're good. So yeah, there's different, you know, waves that help with certain things, like delta is supposed to calm you down, whereas like, I believe it's alpha, it like helps you when you're studying or concentrating. So I use those, but, you know, Josh, I think it's great what you're doing. And, you know, Megan, you made a good point. So for me, I used to get stressed out about work all the time, but you know, kind of how Megan mentioned that, like, you know, if something doesn't get done at a certain time, it's not the end of the world. And I've honestly been like really living by that. So what if I can't get an email out at a certain time? Like, I don't need to stress about it, right? So it's a combination of mindset and, you know, meditation and Zen, like we were discussing here, that helps me out. And I think, Josh, like, you know, that the tools that you're providing businesses and individuals in high stress environments, it's great because it could make or break a person.
Yeah, no, yeah. I appreciate that. And I'd even add one comment. It goes back to what you're saying, Rudy, and also Megan, both of you. Megan, you mentioned that for you, it's not so much the meditation, but exercise. And my wife's mm-hmm. the same way. She's heavy into CrossFit and she's an athlete and all these different things. But for her, that's what helps bring her into that you know, release and get rid of the stress. And Rudy, yeah. For you, it's the, you know, the binaural beats and some of those types of meditation, that music. Music's a big one for me too. It helps control my energy and my mindset. But I guess my comment is, for everybody, it's different. Some people it's exercise. Some people, like you and I, Rudy, maybe music. Some people, it's reading or maybe it is a meditation. I don't do a lot of meditations myself either. For me, it's other tools. And so I think really for whoever's listening, and Sharifa, even what you were saying, everybody's a little bit different. And the key is to find those tools that work for you and then learn how to use those and integrate them into your life to bring you into that happiness and that state of creation where you can go do amazing things and change the world in your own way.
Yeah. And I was going to say one other thing that really helped me is to remind myself that life and work is a laundry list. It's always laundry. So it's like you get your laundry done and you're so relieved, but then you have more laundry the next day and you have to remind yourself that it's ongoing. You never need to finish the laundry. It's going to keep adding up and that's okay. And it should be a constant flow of laundry rather than like, I'm done. Oh no, I have to do it again. You know, if you have that mentality, it kind of calms you down a little bit, I think.
Absolutely. So. I would definitely agree. I have enjoyed this show. It has been a lot of fun, very interesting, a lot of laughs, but we learned a lot. I learned a lot on this show. I didn't even know there was 3D audio, but we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Rudy.
So I think what I really took from this conversation is that education is key, no matter, you know, what sector, what business you're in, you know, whether it's for your personal or your professional self. Education is key, you know, a lot of what like Megan does, the PR marketing, and to what Josh does, and even for myself in the product sector, right? You need to know the details before making a decision. You know, you need to know the details of a product before making a decision on whether to purchase it. You need to know who you are, right? What helps you? Is it the exercise? Is it the tones, the music? So I think I would take education out of this. I think it was an important topic.
I think that's wonderful. What I took away from this is that I can't imagine you being stressed. Like, you look like the chillest guy ever. You like laid back, chilling, slow, you know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine you stressed. You're a lot of fun, Rudy. Thank you for being here. Megan, what do you want people to take away?
I want you to take away that you can do this. Don't take no for an answer. If you have a product or a service or something that you think has a story, go for it. If you think it's there, it's there. And you can't let other people tell you no. You just don't take it. Don't take no for an answer. That's my number one takeaway. And stalk if you have to. Don't get arrested.
See, you got to add that part because as a business consultant, what I find is I give people advice and all this stuff and they come back and I'm like, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. So you got to mention
it clearly. Literally.
Yes. Thank you, Megan. Josh, what do you have for us?
You know, I'd just say, looking back to Rudy and Megan and the comments that they've made, and even mentioning some of your comments, Sharifa, our vision as a company is a world without limits. And like I mentioned a few minutes ago, if everyone can learn, and Megan even mentioned that, don't let anything hold you back. Go out and do great things. And I would just echo that. Everybody has greatness in them. We all have challenges, everyone that they're dealing with. And if you get in there and find ways to overcome it, there's help out there. And everyone can do great things, whether you're an entrepreneur or just you know, in your family life or whatever it may be, in your job, you can excel and do great things. So I'd just say, take away a world without limits. Help us accomplish that together. Find that peace in you. If you're an individual, check out awakenthegreatness.com. And if you're a business, just achievetoday.com. And there's a lot of great tools there to help you out for free. So thank you.
I like that. And while you're speaking, I'm just looking at your monitors and you have the potential at the back. And I just thought that was great. The whole show is that when you're speaking about greatness, the potential for everyone is already there for them to be great. You just bring it out. Is that part of the potential message, or I'm just reading into it?
No, that's exactly right. In fact, that's our website. That's one of the main things on the top of our website. But yes, it really is. Everyone has that potential. And like I like to say, the greatness in them. And a lot of times it just needs to be some of those barriers need to be removed. And that's what we're here to do. But it allows you to do great things. And so I just encourage everybody to go awaken your greatness, change the world, whether it's Rudy or Megan doing it for Megan, doing it for all these businesses. Rudy, he's so calm because he's already, I mean, he's changing it. I mean, the whole planet's thanking him every day. And so
he knows he's not her own planet.
That's right. So anyway, go find that greatness that's in you and go do it. Go get it done. And don't take no for an answer, like Megan said.
Absolutely. Just do it. Do not take no for an answer. This has been a great show. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the show live does not mean you're not important. And it doesn't mean we still don't need your support, because we do. Please go ahead and share the show. But as always, I just ask that you don't just watch the show and you don't just share the show, but that you support our guests. They're here with you this morning to share their information, their journey, and their resources with you. So please support them. Visit their website. Their website links are in the Facebook post. And I always ask, reach out to them, follow them on social media, send them that message, send them that tweet. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at AskSharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.